So, God truly is good all the time. And sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes that gets faded in the background amongst turmoil, amongst problems, amongst struggles. I've been going through my share of struggles for the past 5 or 6 weeks. Now, you may think it odd for me to start a service that way. I'm not a preacher. I was asked to come here, and I'm sharing with my family and friends. That's what I do. I have a discussion with my family and friends because I love this church. I love you people. And I love what this church and God has done for me in my life. So I like to share that with you. Brian has asked me on a couple of occasions to, he's given me scripture, and he's asked me to work it into my own story. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Daniel Ferris. I became a member of this church just about 5 years ago, almost exactly 5 years ago. I was actually out on bond facing federal criminal charges for growing marijuana at the time. And I was introduced to this church by a close friend that I was attending 12-step programs with. His name was Mike Hawkins. He used to play the bass here. Very good guy. Very good guy. And he unfortunately passed away while I was locked up. I ended up getting 6 years for growing marijuana. Of that, I served just over 4. I've been out. June 15th will be a year since I've been released. Now, the scripture that came up, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't even read it till yesterday. Because I've told you folks before, those that have been here, I like to shoot it from the heart. I don't script anything. I don't write anything down. For me, because I do it so seldom, it's easier for me to relate to you by telling you how I feel inside, how the scripture touched me. And a lot of times, it's touched you the same way, which is why when I'm speaking, I ask you to participate. There's going to be questions I'm going to ask you, and you cared enough to come and worship, so do me the honor of putting your hands up when I ask you a question, because I believe it's important, the things that I ask you, I want you to be able to look around and see how that affects the rest of your family, because do you all agree that these are your brothers and sisters in here? If you agree with me, put your hands up. Okay, I've been told in the past, and it's kind of funny, but that you find the most sinners underneath a church roof. All right? And I pondered that when I first heard it, and I wondered, why is that? Well, this is what I believe. We all know that we're sinners. Okay? There's a difference between us and the world. Whereas we know, we found out through hardship, through family introductions, through knowing Christ at an early age, through whatever it took to get into these doors, into these rooms, in with this fellowship, we figured out that our lives were not fulfilled and we weren't whole. And we realized that we are sinners. So we all share that. Now, the outside world is ruled by the evil one. Isn't that what the word says? All right, the evil one rules this world. He's been given dominance over this world. So at one time, and I'm going to show you in Scripture, at one time all of us were ruled by this world in some shape or form. And we found our way in here. Now for me, and it's not a brag or a boast, I like to share with you what's happened to me and how God has affected my life. So, being introduced to this church, and I was struggling. I was looking at some serious time, and I've been in and out of jail for most of my adult life, unfortunately. Because I was introduced to Christ early in my life, you know, people say I tripped for a little while, or I fell, or, well, that happened to me several times. I beat my head against the wall over and over and over again. But one thing that was consistent was I kept coming back to Christ. And things would get better. And then I would think I had control of it. And things would get worse. I would quit following what I knew had helped me and made me feel good. Well, this time around, in 11 months, I just graduated from welding school last week. Thank you. I prayed. I sat in a cell and I made up a list of things I wanted to accomplish. One was, I knew I was going to a halfway house. One was to get my own place. That happened almost immediately, as I shared with you before. In just under a month of my release. And at the same time, I had planned to go to welding school while I was in that cell. That happened, and I just graduated, which was a wonderful thing. March 26th of this year, I celebrated 5 years clean from the drugs that affected me for so many years. Namely, cocaine and crystal meth were, they truly tore me down. Cocaine for just over 20 years, crystal meth for about 3 or 4. And they were my demise, literally. The word says that what one person may mean for evil, God can turn for good. Now, the way this worked out, this last charge, I was turned in by my wife, which was a blessing. Trust me. I still speak to her now. For a long time, I couldn't. The turmoil, the pain, I hated her. I did. I hated her. But over time and through getting into the ministry and church and the healing process that comes with time, she saved my life, because what was 6 years would have easily been 30 years or more had I been out. Even within 6 months of my arrest, I would have been looking at, I know in my heart, 20 or 30 years. So she saved me. God saved me. This church saved me. The fellowship saved me. I said I've been going through turmoil lately. All these wonderful things have happened to me. God's been blessing me tremendously. But I've made some poor choices along the way. Early on, getting in relationships that I was too immature, I'd been locked up so long. I just wanted company. I wanted companionship. And I didn't know how to handle that yet. I needed to work on me, because even though I thought I had worked on me in a prison cell, there was a lot that I had to do. So needless to say, those early relationships didn't work out. And all the things that I planned, everything that I prayed for in that cell has come to fruition, except one thing. I haven't gotten rid of mini-me yet. I've gained 80 pounds from the time I caught this charge to now. And will I take it off? Yes, I'll take it off, guaranteed. So, Brian, over the past weeks, has been preaching on faking it. All right? These are the teachings in that series thus far. We've got fake faith, fake people, fake pain, fake church, and fake humility. Well, today I'm supposed to touch on fake theology. So let me just touch on theology for a minute. Systematic theology is a discipline of Christian theology that formulates an orderly, rational, and coherent account of the doctrines of Christian faith. What are the doctrines of Christian faith? His word. We have an advantage. There are several religions, several philosophies throughout the world. Living in America, we come in contact with a lot of these on a daily basis. In the political arena, there's a lot of things that we disagree with. But one thing we have to understand, this country was created with those freedoms. So we can't look down on those that worship other gods. What our calling is to do, what Jesus said, is to go out and make disciples of all nations. So instead of complaining and looking down, we should be sharing our faith more. And how many of you have shared your faith in one way or another and been discriminated against or maybe felt uncomfortable because somebody didn't want to hear or respect what you were saying? Have you ever shared your faith, even in something as simple as saying, God bless you, and somebody just kind of snugged you? Has that ever happened? Ever? And if it hasn't happened, you're probably not sharing your faith enough, because you're going to come into that kind of turmoil. You're going to find that discomfort with sharing your faith, especially in a melting pool like America. And simple things like bless you, God bless you, you know, when somebody does something for you or when you do something for them, that plants a seed. It helps. And some people may ask you about your faith. Others may need you to impose your faith just a wee bit. We talked about last time the drug addicts and the way Harrison County per capita has the highest rate of babies born addicted and of overdoses. Those two things are incredible when you think about it on a global scale, and especially in this country, per capita, Harrison County is the highest in those two categories. If you want to change that, we talked about last time, then Jesus also said to love one another as he has loved us. That doesn't mean you get to pick and choose who you love. It doesn't mean you just love those that you fellowship with. That means that you love all. You love one another. So if you do that, I believe in my heart that you feel better, even when you get snug, even when people don't want to hear it. You still feel better for sharing your faith in some way or another. Now, I've got plenty of struggles, you can imagine. And the crowd that I hung out with, a lot of them don't want to hear, you know, God bless you, that I've changed, and they don't believe it, and you can imagine. So I don't hang around that crowd anymore. But when the opportunity presents itself, I'm not shy, I'm not scared, and I'm in no way ashamed of my faith and what God's done for me. How many of you have struggles, whether it be with your spouses, with the way that you speak at times, the words that come out of your mouth, whether it be an addiction, smoking, whether it be just struggles in general? Does anybody have struggles that they deal with on a daily basis? That's what I thought. So let's touch first on what the scripture is today. It is 1 Peter. You know what? I've got so many bookmarkings here. Give me just a second so that I make sure. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. If you want to follow with me. And if I can find it quickly. Is it? I like to read from my Bible, but that's okay. Dear friends, then don't be surprised about the fiery trials that have come among you to test you. These are not strange happenings. Instead, rejoice as you share Christ's suffering. You share this suffering now so that you may also have overwhelming joy when his glory is revealed. If you are mocked because of Christ's name, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory, indeed the Spirit of God, rest on you. So this, when I read this the first time last night, I've gone to this scripture several times over the years. Every time I end up locked up, I've gone to this scripture. It's popped up over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Those fiery trials. And even now, it meant more because I'm doing better. I'm a better man right now than I've ever been in my life, ever. And I still have a long way to go. I say it like this: I was sick when I got here, and I'm just not well yet. But I'm getting there. And right now, when I go through these trials, it hurts me even more than it did when I was locked up, because I knew I had it coming. You understand what I mean? I knew I had it coming. But as Christians, as we try to do the very best we can. And the theology of following God's Word, studying God's Word, it hurts a lot more. How many of you have ever said, why me? Why me? Why, God, why are you doing this to me? Everybody. It's one thing, all these things we have in common, these struggles are to strengthen us. And it says, what are you surprised for? Why are you surprised that you have to go through these struggles? Nobody's had to go through the struggle that Christ went through for us. Nobody. Nobody has dealt with the pain, the humiliation, the suffering that Christ went through. So when we get on our high horses and we put ourselves as individuals, like, why me? Why are you doing this to me? Seriously? I have to check myself a lot of times. That's where I said earlier, we say God is good all the time. Sometimes we forget that. We focus on what's going on right here, right now. What's hurting us, what pain is in our heart, whatever trial we're going through. And we forget the simple things and all the blessings that we've had. The family that we have around us, the sunshine, the water, the birds, all those simple things that we're blessed with on a daily basis. And I've been going through that a lot lately, but selfish me. Some of it I put on myself. Matter of fact, most of it. In some way, we can always find our part in whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is. Except when there's, you know, grieving, a loss in the family. Of course, we don't have any part in that, but that's just the natural selection of things. That's just what happens. And we still have to understand that God has provided a way for each of us to get to a place where there's no more tears. It states that clearly. No more tears. Nothing but joy. What we just read, overwhelming joy, is what we had to look forward to. So these tests, these trials are nothing in the spectrum of things. They don't mean a whole lot. So in the theology, fake theology, an example of fake theology. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, now, not a churchgoer, not somebody that is saved, but somebody that tells you that, oh, if there's a God, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm a good person. Anybody ever heard that? I do good things. I help people. Well, that is an example of fake theology. They really don't know what the Word says. They've never done any study. Now, the word theology comes from the Spanish word. Theologia. Now I'm going to... Augustine of Hippo defined the Latin equivalent, theologia, as reasoning or discussion concerning the deity. Isn't that what we have in here? That's what we have in here every week. Brian is very clear and very good at expressing what the Word says and how we should apply it to our lives. He leaves that up to each one of us. And interpretation in some way, shape, or form is on each of us as individuals. But there are basic premises. When Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, and he said they're all important, but the most important is to love one another. Love one another. 1 Corinthians 13 has a whole chapter on love. The last verse says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So when we think about, when we put that in context, loving one another, again, doesn't just mean loving your brothers and sisters that sit next to you. Because our great commission is to go out and spread His Word. That's what we're commissioned to do as Christians. We're supposed to spread His Word. however you're comfortable with it. Some people don't go knock on doors. My buddy Joe Canterbury, he's Pentecostal. He goes and knocks on doors and spreads the word. That's how he does it. I couldn't do that. That's not my calling, not at all. But he does that. Some people pass out. When I was in the city in the midst of my addiction, we always had Christians passing out those little books. You've seen them, all right? You know how many of those I read in the midst of my, the severest and worst pain I ever been through, the misery? I read them because I knew somewhere in there was that still small voice. Now, I don't even get nervous typically about speaking, but last night I woke up at 2:30 this morning. Stomach was just churning. I was thinking about what to say. And there's nothing that I can say except to tell you that God has been good to me. He's been good to me. And I know that He's got to be being good to all of you because you're still here worshiping and praising. It outweighs all the blessings that He bestows upon us, each as individual, far outweigh the turmoils and the struggles and the sorrow and the pain that we go through. Sometimes on a daily basis, that happens. That's life. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that you're going through these things. Because in the end, with your faith, I believe that all we're going to have to endure is overwhelming joy. I believe that because the Word tells me that. So a little bit of Scripture just to back some of this up. Ephesians 2:2. Actually, I'm going to read 1 and 2. And it says, "In the past you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sins. At that time you followed the world's evil way. You obeyed the ruler of the spiritual powers in space, the spirit who now controls the people who disobey God." So each one of us who are saved from that spiritual power. No longer under that stronghold, that ball and chain. The devil has no power over us now. So the pain and the sorrow are just temporary. You know, it's funny again how the Scripture came up, because for the first time in speaking with everything that's going on in my life right now, this voice in my head kept saying, "You're not worthy to get up here and speak to these people today." And I remember how Jesus fought after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil kept tempting him 3 different times. And he fought the devil with Scripture. So this voice kept telling me that you're not worthy. All the stuff I've been going through and some of the choices I've made lately, just not worthy to get up here. Right now is not the time. And I remember that none of us are worthy. Not even one of us. How do I know that? Because of this book. The theology of studying God's Word. And we know that there's only one true God, because this book starts out in the beginning. Our God is the one true God. He was here before anything else. In the beginning, when there was nothing, the world was void. So I fought that by saying, you know what? I know when I ask the question as to whether other people are going through struggles, I know 95% of the hands are going to go up. And the other 5%, they're just scared to put their hands up, or they're too lazy to put them up, or whatever. Everybody goes through them. So I'm as worthy as anyone. As long as I have faith in God, as long as I believe, as long as I'm trying to be the best man that I can be for His sake, for Him, then I'm worthy. I'm worthy. Another thing that just happened recently was I had planned, because I enjoy doing this and I have a lot to share. I just got done doing the first segment of the lay ministry course. And that was in Buchanan. Did that, 3 weeks ago. The two of us did it together. There's another one coming up in September. I plan to do that. There's a full course online so that I can do this on a regular basis. And I am worthy. I am worthy. I know where I came from, and I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm going. And each one of you are worthy of spreading His word, of blessing other people, because you can be a blessing to other people. If it wasn't for the people in my life when I was young that planted that seed, there's no way I'd be standing here before you telling you how very blessed I am right now. And I still have plenty of time. Things are going so well for me. I have my own business. Starting out slow. It's hard to start your own business with no capital, but you know what? I'm doing it. It's working. It's coming together. There's been pitfalls. I want you to pray for my friend Terry Gaines. He's the carpenter that was good enough to start out with me. 3 weeks ago, he got diagnosed with small cell lung cancer. It's in his liver now and in his bones. He just started chemo. He's doing it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and 21 days in between. But my thoughts aren't what I lost. You know, I have to slow down and revamp how I do my business now and what jobs I can choose. But my thoughts and my prayers are with Him, because I'm not so selfish anymore just to think about me. And I haven't tried to fill that position. I'm not going to, because I believe and I know He's going to be just fine. I have faith that He's going to be just fine. And I'm waiting. And we did another job together yesterday. Very small one. Very small one. First one since he started his chemo. And he wants to continue to work. Tony Bowers he's the floor guy. And when I started this venture, it was to be with Tony. But we all know what he's been undergoing in this past week. He, again, went into the hospital and had another surgery. Just when he was healing up from the last one, which has been a couple of months, he goes and does some work this past week and hurts himself, and he's back in the hospital again. And you know what? I'm more concerned about his health. So there again, I have to back up and take different jobs now. What was a whole bunch of different areas that we could work in, now they're down to about two, because I'm not well versed in doing all that work. But I'm still so blessed. I'm so blessed because I get to share with these guys. I get to pray with these guys, and it's just one of the many ways that God has helped me. So the next scripture I want to share with you is 1 John 5, chapter 19. And it says, "We know that we belong to God, even though the whole world is under the rule of the evil one." What a blessing that is. Again, something brought us in here. And we all know we're sinners, and we're all working on that. But unfortunately, the people out there, they don't even know. They don't have the benefit that we have of knowing that if we endure what goes on here in this world, that we have overwhelming joy to look forward to in the next. They don't even know that. They're ignorant to it. But that's, again, where our faith and our job, our commission comes in. We're supposed to share with them. What's the best thing you can do on the face of this earth other than to help save somebody else's soul? What else can you possibly do? What work can you do? How much money can you make that is more valuable than doing that? Those that planted the seed in me years ago, I have the utmost love, respect, and affection for them. My mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, other people that I've met along the way in jails and prisons that have strengthened my faith. I didn't always follow. I didn't always listen. And I still don't always listen. But at least I'm here. At least I'm trudging on. At least I'm making it through these trials these fiery trials sometimes with my brothers and my sisters, they share the same faith that I do. That means something. That means something. Those people that planted that seed saved my life. And somebody in your life saved your life. Somebody planted the seed in you that kept you from being ignorant to the fact that you have nothing but overwhelming joy to look forward to. That's amazing. That's amazing. There's nothing greater in this world than that. So the next scripture I want to share with you is John 12:30. Now, of course, I lost my little... But there it is. All right. John 12:30 said, "But Jesus said to them, 'It was not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me.' In saying this, he indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer." So again, he gave his life and he promised that in his death, each one of us would have life everlasting. Each one of us. He was going to suffer for each one of us. It's the ultimate sacrifice. How can you repay that? How can you possibly repay that? I believe the only way to repay that is to do what he's asked us to do in this doctrine, in this word, in our Bibles. He's asked us to go out and make disciples of all nations. He's asked us to share our faith, share our belief in him with others, to plant that seed so that some of those ignorant people that don't know what joy they have to look forward to might be saved. And again, that is the greatest gift you can give anyone. I don't care. They might not appreciate it now. They might scorn you now. But in the end, when that seed takes root, and somebody like me is standing up here or sitting out there shaking your hand, saying thank you, saying God bless you, that's the greatest gift you can give anyone, by far. There's no fake theology in what's written in his word. There's nothing fake about this. If you deviate from this, if you try to change it to what you want it to be, that's fake. I've got two more I want to share with you, and I'm done. Colossians 1:13. It says, "He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven." What a gift. No matter what my shortcomings are, no matter what your shortcomings are, no matter what our struggles are, he gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. We don't have to worry about what power the devil tries to inflict upon us, what power he used to have over us. Because we're believers now, and his word says that he died for the forgiveness of our sins. He was tortured. He was humiliated. He was spit on. The pain, the suffering was worse than anything we'll ever go through. And he did that for us. That's something that I can't praise God. That's all I know. That's all I know, because I still go through things and I still say, why me? Why me? How selfish is that? Why him? Why him? He did all the right things. He was the only perfect man, the only perfect human being to walk the face of this earth. And he went through the worst humiliation any man could ever go through. Why me? That's so selfish. So selfish. We've been given the greatest gift we could possibly get, and we have the opportunity to share that gift with others. Anything short of that is selfish. The last one is, well, we already did that. 1 John 5:19. So in closing, I hope that if nothing else, everyone in here knows that you're not the only one that goes through troubles and heartaches and pain. You're not the only ones that still sin. You're not the only ones that still make poor choices. I'm not the only one that still makes poor choices. You guys were good enough to strengthen me in my resolve, because sometimes I don't see God's blessings in the midst of all the turmoil. And that's only been lately. But I find that starts bringing me back to where I used to be. When I get into my feelings, when I get into pity, when I get into anger, when I get into pain, frustration, I forget how far He's actually brought me. And I forget what I feel when I'm with wonderful people like you. And I have the opportunity to do this daily, weekly. I love all of you because we all share the same struggles. We all share the same hopes. We all share the same faith. So with that said, I thank you for letting me share. I want to end it in a prayer, and then you can go about your day, and hopefully you'll try to bless someone else the way each of you have been blessed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I praise